You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Good morning.
Christopher.
Hello. Sorry. Shelly and I were talking. So, welcome back to Wake Up Tucson, 1030 The Voice,
they local the news. Presley. It's all right.
That's okay. I'm sure we violated all of our licensing agreements by playing the whole song. So, it happens.
The full portion.
Again. Welcome back to Wake Up Tucson, 1030 The Voice, local news and talk. We're having a lot of fun here on a Wednesday. Remember, tomorrow we're doing the AdFed Hall of Achievement interviews, plus U.S. Congressman David Schweikert. Then Friday is Juan Almanza from El Taco Rustico, Uno y Dos, as we like to say. And then we have Mark with Movies. Dan Grossenbach has got some Catalina Foothill School District crap that's going on that he's going to tell us about. And then we have Jason Bedrick from Heritage, who's going to come on and back up Matt Beinberg's number on ESA's Save the Taxpayer Dollars.
Right.
Unlike all the crap that these people are throwing at us.
Sort of opposed to the narrative that we've been fed with a fire hose.
We know racist Katie loves to talk about it. Let's go to our, sitting on the other side of the desk is our friend Shelly Keiss. Shelly, good morning, young lady. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Very well. What's going on with you lately?
Well, you know what? I spent most of the summer in D.C.
And you also broke your, what'd you break this year in the pickleball battles?
Oh, yeah. I broke my leg. But I'm all better. Okay. I'm all better. I broke my, that was in January.
That's true.
Yeah, I broke my leg in January. Up walking, playing pickleball again this week.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. You got to keep moving.
Yeah. If you don't use it, you're going to lose it, as they say.
That's what they tell me. Yep, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
So so here you are. You're always, you know, you've been very involved politically over the last so many years, former chairwoman of the Pima GOP. Give me the state of the union of GOP-ness in Arizona, according to Shelly. What do you got?
I think we're in trouble.
Okay.
I think we're in trouble. Things in Pima, we'll start with Pima County. Pima County has lost precinct committeemen, so that's never a good sign.
Right.
And not only have we lost precinct committeemen, but we've lost precinct committeemen allotments. And what that means is we don't have as many Republicans as we used to.
So how do you lose allotments?
Well, so you get one precinct for every 100, or one precinct committeeman for every 125 Republican voters.
Gotcha.
So when your Republican voters decrease, your allotment decreases. And so we've, over the last 2 years, we've lost Republican voters, and subsequently we've lost our allotment, but we also have fewer PCs, precinct committeemen, who ran for election than we've had before. Initially, we only had like about 420, and then we had about, there was a huge drive, a huge push to get people to write in to be PCs.
Right.
So I was I am in the only precinct, so I want to give a shout out to my precinct, Precinct 84. We have 24 precinct committeemen. We had 29 who ran. So we were actually on the ballot. If you lived in Precinct 84, for the first time in at least Precinct 84, you had to vote for your precinct committeeman.
And this is down in Quail Creek.
And Madeira Highlands.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, when we talk about losing Republican voters or those PCs, or let's say about the voters, does it have to be, I guess, I don't know if you know the numbers or not. So we stop having voters by either they move out of town,
yep,
or they change party affiliation.
They re-register.
Is there something else I'm missing?
They die.
Or they die, that's true. So is there one reason bigger than the other? Is it re-registering or is it Republicans escaping Pima County?
I think it's somewhat Republicans escaping Pima County to some degree.
Okay.
But I also think a lot of it is re-registering. Even though we had a huge push in January, February, to get people to re-register as Republicans so that they could vote in the presidential preference.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and that's so we're going to have to wait and see how this plays out for us. It just means that if you're a countywide candidate, that you have to move forward with a strategic plan that says I'm going to win X percentage of the Republicans, and you want that to be somewhere between 95 and 98. I mean, you're never going to win everybody.
Right.
And then you've got to win X percentage of independents, maybe somewhere between, let's say, 55 and 60. And then this is the tough one for most Republican candidates. You've got to figure out how you're going to win some Democrat votes.
What do you need to win on the Democrat side? Like 10, 20? Percent?
Well,
10%?
Right now I would say 5 to 8.
Okay.
If your other numbers lined up, I would say 5 to 8.
Okay.
Which is, it's a chunk. It's a chunk because those folks tend to vote lockstep.
So in the end, you really got to overperform with the independents to make up for that.
You have to overperform with the independents, 60 to 70%. But you still need to pick up some Democrats no matter what.
And so, but you have to understand with the amount of PCs. Every time I've ever asked anybody, if you have a total of 500 PCs, right?
520.
Oh, that's the number right now. I said that for easy numbers, really.
Okay.
How many PCs activate? What percentage of them really activate even for a presidential year election? No one's ever told me more than 15% of them actually activating and doing their thing. What's your experience?
Well, my experience, again, I'm in Precinct 84. We meet every other month.
Well, you guys are overperforming, I would say.
We overperform. We had a 68% turnout. We had almost 2,000 people show up to vote.
Okay.
In our precinct.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's real good. So, I mean, we've got... We need to activate our precinct committeemen. We have what a lot of people refer to as paper PCs. You know, they sign, somebody sticks this form in front of them and says, here, sign this. You're going to get to vote for president, or you'll be one of the ones that elect the president. You'll be a delegate. And they don't even know what that is. And then we never see them again. And that's problematic. We need PCs that are going to be active. And it's not so much, I have a different perspective. I think a precinct committeeman needs to be focused on the voters. What we've seen lately is that we're focused on the party.
Right.
And that's a different model. It's a different strategy.
Well, I mean, intra-party stuff, you could possibly have that discussion in the off year. Right. But once you get into the nitty gritty, that stuff should be over.
Yeah, it should be over. I mean, like, if you want to start arguing a little bit about intra-party stuff and you want to spend from December, when we'll elect our new chairman, until maybe August, that's fine. But once August hits, you need to have all that stuff behind you, because we're going to elect a governor, a lieutenant governor, a secretary of state, the state attorney. I mean, we've got a lot of work to do. 26 is a huge year, and there's no room anymore for error.
Right.
Certainly not in Pima County.
Because what we've seen is, instead of concentrating on what we need to do for this race, I got LD17 saying they're not endorsing Siskamani or Vince Leach. Right. We've had that discussion. We've had Kathleen Wynne's now running for party chair, even though everyone's like, why aren't you just concentrating on the races today instead of worrying about yourself? Right. And there's this take the eye off the ball stuff back to intra-party, and it gets tired.
Well, it may get tiring. It's just, it's not my strategy. And it never was.
Yeah.
So my strategy, I had a 1 year, a 3 year, and a 10 year strategy. And we met most of our goals, and we were able to give money for an initiative. And the initiative, of course, being ward-only voting.
Yeah.
That was the first time the party has had enough money that they were able to do that.
I remember. I remember the whole horrible soap opera of it all.
Well, yeah. But you know what? It all works out. But right now, we need to focus on getting people elected.
Yep.
And so you've got people out there that are probably not precinct committeemen, may even be hearing the term precinct committeeman for the first time. They're not interested in being involved in the party. they're more interested in taking their kids to soccer, figuring out how they're going to buy groceries, than they are on all the inter-party workings. But we can count on them in the primary and the general. And as far as I'm concerned, that's who we work for.
Yeah, and you know, Schweikert's always said, even you don't have to be part of the party, right? You want to help your country get better. Go find 8 or 10 people in your sphere that you know aren't going to, may not vote Republican, and have the discussion of why maybe they should vote Republican this year.
Yep, absolutely. And that's what we need to be doing. Everybody can do that.
All right, 7:17 in the morning. Christy, Simone, Shelley, Kais, and you. We got the Presidio Museum coming up. Grant Kruger is going to join us in the last half hour to talk about two of those ballots that he's really concentrating on. Of the 13 ballots that are going to be on your ballot, your propositions on your ballot coming up at the yes, I know. I'll get the 31 or 13, one of these right, coming up on November 5th on your ballot. I'll get it all before it's all over. Phil versus Sting on Battle of the Artists. Wake up. All right, it's Sting versus Phil Collins. We're hanging out with Shelley Kais, and we're talking about the state of Republican elections and, you know, what's coming on the... what's going on in the world of Republicans working elections and trying to deliver more than our fair share of victories before we get to November 5th. What's the state of you've heard me say this. I've done it for the Quail Creek crew, that to me, the Republican platform in the state of Arizona, in the makeup of the voters that are in the state of Arizona, is still a winner.
Yes.
Right.
Yep, it absolutely is.
Well, we just keep poisoning it with strong personalities.
Well, yeah, okay.
That's what it seems like to me.
Yeah, we've got some real issues right now. I mean, Cochise County is blowing up. Have you been following what's going on down there?
I mean,
they're on their third county chairman, and now we have Frank Antonori running for Board of Supervisors, attacking Sheriff Mark Daniels, probably the most effective, border sheriff in the country.
Frank is, sad to say, been in the ready, fire, aim thing.
That's exactly
the
what
last
he's doing.
Several
ready,
years,
fire,
sad to say.
Yeah, ready, fire, aim. That's what he did with me, and he can't prove one thing that he said. And now he's a big article the other day. He's come out and said that, you know, Sheriff Daniels better be ready because he's going to be looking at his budget.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, we got crazy stuff like that. Crazy stuff like that doesn't get Republicans elected.
So in some of the polling I saw a few months ago that had, you know, it's one of these Phoenix consulting,
right,
whatever they are, High Ground Strategics, whatever. And it was showing President Trump separating off of Biden, right, increasing his lead. But in the same poll... Lake was losing ground against Gallego. And so how do you feel about that possible reality that someone would circle the bubble for the Donald and either leave it blank or vote Gallego in the next thing they had to fill out?
I think that's a high probability. It's interesting because when I was in D.C. and part of, I guess it was probably the end of June, I met with some Trump people. And I said, are you guys watching the primary for Lake and Lamb? They were like, oh, Lake's got it. And I said, well, I don't know. Let's take a look. Let's look at some numbers. And it was a really interesting conversation that I think even made them take a second look. I am concerned that people will not vote for Kerry. That will be very upsetting. We need we need to vote for her.
Yeah, absolutely.
And leaving it blank. If you say, you know what, I just can't do that. I'm not going to hold my nose. You told me to do that before. I'm not doing it. Okay. If you leave it blank, that's like giving the Democrat one vote. If you vote for the Democrat and you're a Republican, it's like giving the Democrat two votes. You don't want to do that. No matter what, here's what happens when you get to D.C. They paint your nose red or blue. And it's about counting noses. And that's how you're going to decide who's going to get, and this happens in Phoenix as well, who's going to get the committee chairs? Who's going to get the assignments? And you, I don't care what anybody says. You don't want another 2 years of Chuck Schumer.
Right.
And you absolutely do not want to be introduced to Hakeem Jeffries.
Right.
So, I mean, go ahead and vote red and all the way down the ballot.
So I'm telling you right now, as you all know, I lay it out every day for 3 hours. I'm not a fan of Carrie Lake, Rachel, or Corey. I'm voting for all three. I'm going to vote happily for all three because you're right. Everything you just said is true. But sad to say, there's some brothers and sisters out there in our party who are going to say, leave it blank on Siskamani, but how dare you leave it blank for Carrie Lake? So we got to have some consistency across the board. And I keep telling people about Siskamani, I go, do you like your one vote margin in the House right now? Do you like being in control of committees?
You know what, Chris, I'm not even going to be nice about this. If you are going to not vote for Juan Siskamani, and if you believe that you're making a big statement for all to see by voting for an independent or voting for a Democrat, that's fine. You go ahead and make that statement, because we're going to lose the House with that kind of thinking, number one. And as far as I can tell, in 25 years, Arizona, Pima, Tucson have not had anyone sitting in appropriations, sitting on the committees that Juan's sitting on.
Yep.
I mean, for goodness sakes, Juan was able to get the Speaker of the House to come to Tucson to endorse Juan, to talk about the importance of having Juan as a trusted advisor to him.
Right.
And yet somebody would think that they want to make a statement. Look, politics is about math. And until you learn that, you're not going to get it. One of our candidates, I explained to this candidate, I said, let me show you how much you won. You won Precinct 84 by. I went through, we had all the analysis done. And the candidate was shocked.
Hold that thought. I like that. That's a great tease. We're going to find out what that candidate was shocked by when we come back after the news with Shelley Kice and Christy Simone. Give us a call, 790-2040, wakeuptucson@gmail.com. All right, 7:35 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson. Christy Simone, Shelley Kice, Matthew D. Neely, Esquire, and you. Presidio Museum's coming up before the end of the show. And then we have Grant Kruger coming on in about an hour with us. And then he is coming on with Food for Thought. And I forgot who his restaurant guest is. It'll come back to me.
The gentleman from Gentle Ben's.
Gentle Ben's, Baccio, and
the other one, Agave? Yep.
Agave House.
Agave House.
Agave House. There you go. So, Shelley, I interrupted you, me and Phil Collins, it was Sting at that point, and you were talking about you were sitting with a candidate.
I was on the phone. We were texting.
And you were breaking down your precinct down in Green Valley, Madera mm-hmm. Canyon, mm-hmm. Quail Creek, and then at the same time kind of breaking down the numbers, and you said it was surprising to this person.
Right.
And then I interrupted you.
Well, because they had only won by like 30 votes.
Out of 2,000?
Yeah, out of about 2,000.
Okay.
They'd won by about 30 votes. And so they're, you know, they were like, wow. Well, you know, here's what that tells you. You've got a lot of work to do.
Right.
You got a lot of work to do. Because remember what we said. You need 95 to 98% of Republicans. So now you have to go and you have to make the point for why they're going to vote for you.
Yep.
And so you secure up your Republicans, because, you know, if you think for 1 minute that a Republican's going to vote for you because you're a Republican, you're delusional.
Right. Especially last few years.
Yeah. Look at what we got going on with Michael Way right now. Are you following that?
Tell me more.
So Michael Way is a candidate up in, I think it's LD15. And apparently he voted in North Carolina in 21 and 22, which potentially would make him ineligible to run.
Okay.
So when they went to court, the lawyer asked one very pointed question. Who paid for the lawsuit to get Michael Way out of the race?
Right.
And it appears that a Republican precinct committeeman in Queen Creek didn't pay for it by herself. She swore under oath that she didn't know who had paid for it or who had paid for the lawyer, and that she had solicited donations from LD15. Now, this is an important question to get answered, because the challenge is not coming from the Democrats. They say it's coming from the Freedom Caucus.
For a guy who's in the general now?
Yes.
They want him thrown off the ballot?
That is what it appears.
Wow.
So
freedom.
What he's saying is, what Wei is saying is, quote, "I believe that this is all politically motivated."
Yes.
"It's the Freedom Caucus Republicans who have jumped on the bandwagon accusing him of this."
So, did he defeat a Freedom Caucus candidate on his way to the general?
Yes.
Who was that?
I forget what it was. I believe it was her. And I think part of the problem is that he won't commit to supporting Joseph Chaplick for House Speaker.
Gotcha. Okay. So, so when it comes to the statewide elections of president and Senate,
yes,
how does this need to, what do you need to see? What do we need to see? Kind of the how numbers tumble that we know we're kind of on the right path to victory for both President Trump and Lake.
Well, so here's what we need to see. We need to see things settle down in Cochise County. That's one thing. Because Cochise County has always been everybody could go to sleep at night just knowing that Cochise County was going to get it done for the Republicans.
Right.
So we need to see things settle down there. Yavapai is also a strong R. And they threw out Ken Bennett,
yeah,
and brought in Mark Fincham. And so there's a little bit of division there. So we need to bring people back together up in Yavapai. Now, Pima County, we always know that if you're a Republican, generally you're not going to win Pima. What you use as the metric is how much did you lose by.
Right.
And so what we need to do is we're strong in Mojave. We're strong in parts of Maricopa. But see, one of the problems we've got right now is all this crazy infighting. I mean, we got lawsuits in LD3. We had lawsuits in Pima County.
Right.
We're suing each other. If this is true, that this is the Freedom Caucus going after a Republican, that could possibly mean that we have a tied House. I mean, what is wrong with that? What is wrong with that? Again, it's people that have said, we don't care about red and blue noses. We care about constitutional conservatives. And if you're not, we don't care. We'd rather lose and operate from the minority than in any way jeopardize our principles.
Wasn't the right way to tackle this is you win seats, right? You win majorities, right? And then those Republicans that are equipped to win balanced districts like Siskamani, right, have a little more freedom to do, maybe vote along lines that you'd like them to vote a little more conservative after they win a couple of re-elections. Isn't that the reality of how this works?
Yeah. Right? Yeah, that's exactly how it works. That's exactly. Have you seen Reagan yet?
I have not.
Okay. Well, so when you see how Reagan and Tip O'Neill work together,
okay,
you realize how this gets done. It's not pretty. It's about governance. But when you're sitting and you're almost happy to work from the minority because all you can do is lob grenades into the majority and stop things, and all you're really doing is not getting good governance, I don't want that. I want to see good legislation passed. I want to see people working together. We may not get, as Reagan says, your 80% friend is not your 20% enemy. And yet that's how we're operating right now. And it's not just here in Arizona. I see it everywhere. I saw it when I was in Virginia. I had some time to spend with the Republicans in Fairfax County and also in Alexandria, which I am not from Alexandria. So, but it's happening everywhere. And you, I think you had Scott McMahon on your show, and he talked about it up in Michigan, and it's going on everywhere. Republicans have got to get over themselves.
So what happened? My theory is Donald Trump showed he can win a presidential primary by burning down his opponents in the primary, right? He showed it, right?
Yeah.
George Bush, Ted Cruz.
Yep.
Everything,
Marco Rubio,
all of them, right?
Yep.
Then what happened was we lose 2020, the way 2020 went down, which was, I still think, you know, the presidential election was huge issues.
Yeah, there were a lot of issues.
All right. Then they learned that if they try to, they can burn other Republicans on their way to primary wins, just like Donald Trump did.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not Donald Trump.
Okay? Exactly. Right? Exactly. You're not Donald Trump.
Right. And I figure, and that's the way my take is, they've learned that you can burn your way to a primary, but then that's not translating to more than your fair share of wins in the general. Right.
Right.
And then when you need someone who's the consummate candidate that's perfect for CD6 like a Ciscomani, right, he's not pure enough for you. So you just try to burn him also.
Right. There
right.
You go.
Even though
that's where we are.
Does that sound.
That's where
we are.
Like
the credible how we got there?
Mm-hmm.
How do we get out?
Well, that's the question. How do we get out? Because now when you're in party leadership and you're talking to the influencers, the donors and people like that, they're telling you, I'm not giving you a dime.
Right.
I'm not going to give you any money. You got to prove yourself to them. You've got to prove that you understand what governance is, because most of our donors are business people and they understand business. And I understand business. I understood that I needed to go to our donors with a dashboard of metrics. We have more precinct committeemen. We've raised more money. We're moving initiatives. We partnered with groups to get initiatives passed. We did the legwork for groups. You know, maybe we weren't the ones that bought the signs, but we put the signs up.
Candidate academies.
Yeah, we had the candidate academy. We had learning. This is what we're doing. And when I showed up with that, then we could start negotiating. But you have to show up with something. And it can't be all this fighting. I mean, we've got so much fighting going on right now. And what cracks me up is somebody said to me, oh my gosh, we're in a Pima GOP meeting and they're still talking about you. It's been 20 months since I was the chairman.
Yeah.
I've been almost all the way around the world and they're still talking about that.
Well, what happens is, it's sad to say, are some of our brothers and sisters pattern the people that they can't stack like the people they can't stand, right? So when you were coming on that January and they sent letters to Patty that you shouldn't come on, right?
Oh, yeah.
Censoring
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
After they complain about how, you know, during COVID, all the censoring that was going on.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I thought that was hilarious.
It was classic. It was classic. As a matter of fact, everything that that Antonori accused us of is exactly what's going on now. Exactly what's going on.
Then at the same time, with this whole thing with, oh my God, we were just talking about it.
Michael Way?
No, what did you say?
LD15, Michael Way?
No, when you were talking about the party right now,
mm-hmm.
right? They keep blaming you, right? After you haven't been there for 20 months.
Feels right? like 20 years, but yeah.
Right. This is exactly when, like, Joe Biden comes into office and blames everything on Trump.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They're still blaming him now.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Right?
Yeah. Three and a half years later.
They pattern the same behavior of people they can't stand.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Look, the one thing about party leadership is when you... I had one of our party leaders say to us the other day, Jeff DeWitt, blah, 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 whatever it was. And I said, let it go. It's been months. He's gone. He's been gone for months. Whatever it was, it's done. Move on.
Yep.
How did you correct it? If that was the issue, what did you do to correct it?
And the thing that's so sad is this hate for Juan some of these people.
Yeah.
Here's a guy who can win a balanced district.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? He's a fundraising monster.
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
He is.
Right. And you're a party that can't raise any money now. Right? And you basically keep insulting and working against the guy who's your highest elected official in the party. You don't even invite him to speak at your Lincoln Day dinner, right? Because of whatever you have, whatever you don't like about Juan, again, strategically, it's a loser, right? You need to build the party around a guy like that, right? You become friends with the guy who can connect you with people who stroke big checks, right? We also found out that he's the guy that out of the leadership pack spreads more money to other candidates than any other Republican in the state. But that's not your guy.
I don't understand that. So you asked the question, how do we fix it?
Yep.
And we'll tease it with how do we fix it?
Look at you. See, she knows how to do this. We got to get her a show in the afternoon around here. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. We got our friends from the Presidio Museum coming up at the top of the hour, and then Grant Kruger at 8:30, who's going to talk about the ballot propositions about tips and wages and all that stuff. My head hurts. So thank God Grant's on that wall, as we like to say.
A two-page ballot. We're going to have a two-page ballot. People are going to have to sit down for a while to do this.
We're going to have chairs. Chairs at your ballot.
Yeah. Yep.
Vending machines.
Bring snacks.
Get the coffee cups that have the poker game around it on the outside. Remember on Saturday, 8:30 in the morning, Northwest Republican meeting, Chris and Austin Vanderhaden are going to do a presentation on all the ballots. And Goldwater is going to have their sheet that for you to take home, your little worksheet. So when you go in to do your your two-page ballot.
That's right. you'll need the crib notes.
So you got to, it's free to go, but it's mandatory to RSVP. So info@northwestrepublicans.com. Just let Anna know you're coming, how many people. Come at 8 o'clock, around 8, get some coffee, some donuts, and some discussion. We're going to start promptly at 8:30 on Saturday. Now, you had a tease for us.
Yeah.
As we came back.
How do you fix this?
Yes.
How do you fix where we are? One of the issues that we have right now is we have a bunch of people that are going rogue on party leadership. You know, 3 weeks after the primary, we're announcing who we're going to run for county chair in 4 months. This is the first time I've ever seen this.
Yeah, I've never seen that before.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a whole slate, and we call it the Pima Party Patriot something. So we're doing all kinds of stuff there. We've got the fighting between the two teams already. That stuff's got to stop.
Yeah, usually you let the smoke clear from a November election, and you announce your candidacy after Thanksgiving.
And so to everybody who's listening who's a PC, how can you decide who will best lead the county until you know who the candidates are? God forbid we wake up and there isn't a President Trump and a Senator Lake and a Congressman Ciscomani. You need totally different leadership because you're going to be rebuilding a totally broken party.
In a really tough county to do that in.
In a county where we didn't run anybody for superintendent of schools, county attorney, county assessor. My understanding is our county recorder didn't show up for his clean elections debate. We have a candidate, but he didn't show up.
What's his name? I don't even know.
Something Campbell Gonzalez or Gonzalez Campbell. Dominic Campbell Gonzalez or something like that.
Someone mentioned to me, I'm like, who's that?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I mean, we have, look, here's what you need. You need really good candidates. Juan Ciscomani is the absolute best candidate that Pima County CD6 could have for this legislative district.
And it's Lori running also bilingual.
congressional district. Bilingual. Huge. Look it. You know what? Maybe you love Andy Biggs. Andy Biggs couldn't win CD6.
True.
Andy Biggs could not win CD6.
Yep.
And that's what you have to look at. Look at the demographics of the congressional district. Look at, and I know that there's people that are saying, no, you need to look. You don't understand. Well, I don't know. This is what I do for a living. I study demographics, and I look at this kind of stuff. And I don't see this huge far-right group. Now, do we see 40%? Yeah. Of the people who showed up to vote in the primary, 40% of them were that group.
Right.
40% selected Juan's opponent.
Right.
But now here we are, and we're going into the general. And so what Juan's got to do is he's got to bring in that 40%, which nobody does it better than he does.
Yeah.
He's everywhere.
Yeah.
He's everywhere. He remembers names. He goes everywhere. He shows up. He explains things. If you've got a question, ask him. I mean, I think it's more difficult to get Juan out of a room than it is to get him into a room.
Yeah, I think his staff could attest to that.
Yeah, I'll bet they would.
So I guess my question, so we got about a minute and a half before the Presidio crew. So we get out by what? So wrap that up. How do we get out of the situation we're in?
We get out of the situation we're in by becoming very, very strict in giving PCs actual jobs that they have to do. The paper PCs, we need to either engage them or we need to let them go or ignore them. The people that are active, we need to have very specific jobs. And those jobs need to fall into one of two categories, registering voters and or getting out the vote. That's all we do. That is what the party is supposed to do. Being the chairman of the party is an administrative position. After November 5th, and we know what it's going to look like here in Pima County and nationally, you need to select a leader that is going to be able to manage and administer the Pima County Republican Party for whatever that outcome is. If we are all Democrat, we have a whole new job. Then it's all about education. And you better get somebody that knows how to get out and hold town halls, that knows how to message, that knows how to get information out, that knows how to get earned media, that knows how to raise money to do all of that, because that's what you're going to need.
All right, Shelley and I will return. We have our friends from the Presidio Museum coming up next. Grant Krueger after that. We're going to talk about a couple of ballot propositions that have to do with wages and tip credits and other things that make your brain hurt, but you have to understand when you get there. So, Shelley Kais, Christy Simone, wake up.